CuriousBroadcast.com. I am Ray Wingnut, and I'm talking to Dan Hegarty. How's it going, Dan?
I'm good. Is Wingnut your real name?
Yeah, it's a Dutch name, yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I thought it was a great name for... Yeah, it is. It's got a certain... I don't know what about it.
It's not a Dutch name, man. No, my name is Ray Cuddy. I'm from Cork.
No, I didn't think so. actually, somebody told me that before, so... Yeah, Cunningham. Did they tell
me? No, it's not Cunningham. It's Cuddy.
Cuddy?
Yeah, okay. It's not like Happy Days. Like.
Okay, I know a Ray Cunningham. Was I in school with him? Hang on. Maybe I was. Anyway, let's...
It's a good place to start. You were in school in South County Dublin, was it?
I was.
Whereabouts you from?
I'm from Sandy Mount originally, but I've lived all over Dublin at this stage, and I'm yet again a suburbanite now living in South County Dublin.
Nice. And so let's go back now. I'll just check the volumes on this. I'd say I might have to kick it up a notch, so to speak. And so you're from Sandy Mount, and I want to talk about your style first of all, because it's lovely to meet you, like, you know what I mean, and I'm going to lay on a bit of flattery notes, right, straight off the cuff, right? I think you're the coolest dude in broadcasting, right, if you'll excuse the term. Like, you just got the style, you're a laid back dude, big in stature, big in popularity. Where did this style come from, just kind of just laid back kind of slacker kind of style?
Thanks for the kind words. I don't know. That you just do what you do. It's like you talk the way you talk, and that's just the way it kind of happens. I don't know. I actually never set out to be a presenter. I really didn't. I when I was in college, I went to what was Dunleary College of Art and Design, and I always wanted to produce and do a lot of the technical stuff, and so I never really had it in my head to present at all. It was Brendan Balfe who was lecturing us at the time, good friend of mine too, who got me to go into the studio and do some presenting, and then wouldn't take no for an answer. He kept getting me to go back, and that's kind of pretty much where it started. So thanks, Brendan.
That's great stuff. And of course, like, you can't be a presenter without having, you know, the strong, you know, musical thirst, like, let's say were you always like crazy into music in school or in
crazy
stuff like that?
Crazy into music, yeah, always, yeah, ever since, for as long as I can remember, I've been mad into music. Some questionable stuff, some not so questionable, but you know, it's music is not there to be kind of like, you know, you don't be start looking down at people because they don't like what you like. Music is music, and you're into whatever you're into. When I'm into all sorts of stuff, not just the stuff that I play on the show, I'm just a music fan. So, always, for as long as I can remember, it's always been there in my interest.
Great stuff. So, let's say before we go back to, let's say, to the start of broadcasting when you left college and stuff like that, or maybe even when you were in college, can you tell us the philosophy behind The Alternative, your current show, on 2XM and 2FM? Well, is it a very complicated philosophy?
It's as complicated as you want to make it. Like firstly, The Alternative came from the original thing was The Alternative to Sleep. That was the kind of the tagline we use, and it was a joke. It was like because initially the show was on midnight too, and it was on so late. It was the alternative. It was on so late. It was the alternative to sleep. If you didn't want to sleep, you could listen to this. So that's where that came from. We just kind of stuck with the alternative in different forms as the shows kind of moved around ever so slightly over the years. So we've kind of stuck with that for some sort of continuity. But as in for philosophy behind the show, it just kind of pretty much like, look, play music. It's kind of like you're having your mates over to the house and you're going, oh, have a listen to this, have a listen to that, have a listen to that. Obviously with a little bit more structure.
Cool. Great stuff. So let's go back now, right? Because like, my big thing that I want to talk to you about is the old school Phantom days. Right? Now, when you joined Phantom, what year were you with Phantom?
That is a good question. What year did I start with Phantom?
Nobody ever remembers years.
Was it late 99 or early 2000? I can't remember. It was one or the other. I think it might have been early 2000. It's somewhere around that mark. Anyway.
That's the golden era, though.
Allegedly so. Yeah. Although, you know, it still sounds pretty good now these days. So.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Very diplomatic, fair play to you.
No,
very
it does,
good.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I just, I there's something about that era of Phantom, though, I reckon. And surely you must have felt it as well.
So what age are you?
I'm 31.
31. That's why you would say it's the golden age, because you were right at the, you were right at the age, like, you were right at the age where it would have, you know, maybe I'm going too far to saying capture your imagination, or just when you're really getting into music. So
yeah, oh, probably, no, not at all. Maybe you just put your finger on it there, like, because that's when, for me, it was the most vital thing, you know what I mean? Like, I needed that stream of music, you needed that broadcasting, like, you know what I mean? And did you feel that at the time that you were, like, because let's face it, Phantom, as it stood back then in, let's say, the early noughties, was the last of the great Irish pirates, like, you know what I mean? In terms of vitality, in terms of, like, great contributors, in terms of creativity and professionalism.
I mean, I obviously knew there was a good lot of people listening to it, but I mean, I didn't hang out so much. I didn't go to Phantasm, the club that we were at. I did a bit, but I didn't go that much. I went to gigs and things like that, but no one knew what you looked like. You know, it's not like you didn't have your picture on the website or anything like that, the social media was in its it wasn't what it is today, so people didn't really know who you were. It's kind of, do you know what, it kind of hit me more after and when I joined 2FM how much it meant to people, because you had bands coming in and they're saying, oh yeah, and you were on Phantom back in the day, and I suppose in retrospect, it was a special time. It was really good fun. Like, aside from it being special for anyone else, it was really good fun for me and for Cormac and for Jenny and all the others who were on it. It was really good fun. There was a good atmosphere. People just got on with it. And I'd like to think that everyone was really into it for the right reasons.
Cool. Yeah, excellent. So let's say, like I've already pointed out, that was a major thing for me. Like, you know what I mean? I remember this, like, being crazy into Phantom. Who was the big broadcasters that had an influence on you back in the day?
Dave Fanning, obviously. He's perhaps the reason. In fact, there's no perhaps about it. Listening to him when I was growing up, yeah, I just kind of went, that guy's, he's got the best job in the world, and he plays cool music. And I used to listen to him. Like, I think, you know, I used to be supposed to be doing my homework, and I'd have the radio on. I'd be leaning into the radio as attempting to do my maths homework and failing miserably, and listening to all the bands that he played. John Peel, to a lesser extent, because I didn't hear his show as much, but when I did, I always enjoyed it. Tom Dunn, much later on, because when he particularly when he started on 98FM, because I knew I could. You could just tell how hard he was finding and how hard he was trying, and he just got so good so quickly, and it was just like, that would give any young broadcaster, or to be quite honest, anyone who was into doing anything, to follow it. And look, he stuck with it, so if he stuck with it, I can stick with it and I can do it okay. So that was great as well at the time. Like someone like John Kelly as well, the Mystery Train, what a program, and the stuff he's doing now is great too. There's a DJ in, he's more producer now in Triple J in Australia, called Richard Kingsmill. He's incredible. He's just got such a knowledge of music, and he just sounds like somebody sitting in the room with you who would be kind of telling you about this and go, oh, here, have a listen to this, which for me is what radio is all about. You know, it's a very kind of personal thing, and this is where I undo my anorak and try and take that off. You know, so yeah, the people like them, and obviously Brendan Balfe would as well. He had a big impact on my how I would prepare and try and, you know, have a plan B if things didn't work out, which is always really important.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned Triple J, and I'm a big fan of Triple J as well. And let's say in Triple J you have like speciality shows. You'd have like a hip hop show, you have the Short, Fast, Loud and stuff like that. You know, we got Roots and All and stuff like that. Is that something that maybe you try and capture, or that you could try and capture in the alternative? Do you find it like, you know, you have different nights where you have different themes and stuff like that? Or you say to pour on hard and heavy rock and roll for a half an hour or something like that? You know what I mean?
Not really, no. I mean, I do, although I haven't done it in a while now. It must make a note to self. I did this thing called 60 Minutes of Metal, where I play like kind of with a few deviations. That's to cover myself, and people said, that's not metal. And you go, well, that's a deviation, you see. So, stuff like that. No, not really. Like, usually it's just kind of a, like, essentially it's a guitar-based show, but with lots of other things thrown in. And that's kind of the way I've done it for the longest time, and it seems to be what people like. I like listening to stuff where you're kind of guessing what's going to come next. You're not actually guessing, oh, what's next, that would be weird. But if you're kind of just going, there's nothing wrong with playing something like, you know, the new Jaguar Ma single and then following it up with Hey You, the Rocksteady Crew. I think that's kind of fun when you hear stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, trying to make a show fun is kind of pretty important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really cool. And listen, just talking about, let's say, new music and stuff like that, right? Like, I'll tell you an anecdote about a time that you played a band called the Siam Collector from Waterford. I think I might have contacted you about them, you know. And, like, and I hadn't heard it in years, you know. And I was inside Road Records years ago after you played it. And it was just sitting in this, like CD just sitting in a plastic sleeve, you know. And I was like, this is the tune that Dan played the other night. And then I bought it, and I went to, and it was just so homespun and so DIY. And then it was just so eclectic. The album was just amazing, you know. And, like, I was kind of thinking to myself, like, yeah, like, what's your favourite way of sourcing new music like that? Like, I'm sure you get loads of press releases and loads of PR stuff and stuff like that. But, and, you know, without getting too nostalgic about it, what's your favourite way of sourcing? I don't have a favourite way.
I listen to stuff that gets sent in. I buy stuff. I listen to streams online. I listen to downloads I get. I read stuff. I read, like, blogs. I read magazines. I read kind of, you know, supplements of the paper and stuff like that. You know, Twitter is really handy. All sorts of ways. That's the whole fun of it. There's no one way of doing it. You know, there's so many different ways now, and that's the fun of it, of kind of finding something that you kind of love and just going, it's not the case, it's not a possession thing, it's not saying, oh, like, this is mine, but find something that you really love. And again, getting back to what I was saying, that you're playing stuff for your mates. Like, I know obviously people who are listening aren't necessarily my mates, but it's, if you want to call it an analogy, so just sharing stuff, just going, oh, listen to this, I think this is pretty cool, you know. Just stumbling across stuff is great fun, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like a word of mouth thing. It's like a good book.
Cool.
Or Kindle.
Excellent.
Kindle perhaps.
There you go. And of course, a great way of finding new music is the sessions, and you still have the session series going on. And any memorable sessions that stand out for you?
Yeah, lots, tons. So many. I suppose more recently, we'd Slow Skies and Overhead the Albatross in to do live sessions, and that just got a huge, huge response, like, for good reasons, well, because both great bands. Cormac's Big Band came in a number of years ago, and he brought in a barbershop quartet, and that was just fantastic. Other people like Paranoid Visions came in, and that was a real thrill for me, because I used to always see them growing up. They'd be kind of hanging around Grafton Street, and I was like, who are those guys with the nails sticking out of their heads? I want my hair to stick up like that, you know. I haven't quite managed it still.
a little bit to the left,
you know. So many, like, God Is an Astronaut have been one of my favourite bands for a long time. They've done some incredible sessions, and So I Watch You From Afar have done some incredible sessions. There's tons and tons of people who have come in. I mean, generally, anyone that comes in, we'd be a kind of a fan of, or we'd really want them to come in. So there's so many over the years. You're talking 10 years. I've been on 2FM 10 years now, so it's a decade of sessions.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's great. It's, you know, very fortunate.
Yeah, well, of course, and I'll finish up with this one now. Like, let's say when you moved from, let's say, Pirate Era Phantom to 2FM, it was a jump from, of course, a pirate station to a commercial station. And in 2013, like, we've seen a lot of, like, alternative music broadcasters being, it's quite marginalised now, like, you know what I mean? Like, we've seen this in commercial stations and stuff like that. And Do you find that in 2013 that it's difficult to see a future for alternative music broadcasting in a commercial setting? Like, we talked about Triple J, of course. They're like, you know, like, they're an amazing radio station in the world, and they work outside of commercialism. Do you find that alternative music broadcasting is becoming more difficult to sustain in 2013?
Well, go back to let's say the 2000, let's say go back 13 years. There are more stations now. There are more alternative music, if you want to call it alternative music or special interest shows now, than there ever have been. So I think it's always been on the margins, because by definition it's the alternative, not my show, but it's the alternative to kind of what's on during the day. So I don't know. I guess I'm always hopeful about these things. I'm always hopeful there'll be a place for it, and there'll be a place for kind of like Irish music and stuff that isn't just kind of isn't main course, if you know what I mean. So I'm hopeful. That's the only way I can look at it. You can't get too caught up in, oh, what's the future going to hold. You just, you know, you drive yourself mad.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, hopefully there's always going to be a place for it, but who knows? I think there will be, yeah.
That's the job. And of course, speaking of the future, you have to go home now and do the daddy daycare for the afternoon, is it?
I have to do a few things before I get home, yeah, so we'll see. Just a few things. I've got a mental list that I'm slowly forgetting. I'm going to have to... I try and put stuff on my phone, and I forget to do that, and I write it down. I have bits of paper in the back of my pockets and things. I got so many bits of paper, I don't even know which day I'm supposed to... Oh, what day is that? Oh, hang on, that was last Thursday. I don't think I have to do this today at all.
Could be like me, man, using the scraps paper for rap lyrics, like, you know what I mean? I don't know which is more productive, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not too good in the old freestyling, so I'll leave that to you. Although if you're writing lyrics down, you're not necessarily freestyling, are you?
Hey, listen, I'm not of the classic old school, you know, Bronx lads on the corners, like, you know what I mean? I'm coming from the Corkman living in Galway style, like, you know what I mean? I got my own thing going on.
How's that work, Corkman living in Galway?
Oh, best of both worlds, mate. Mm-hmm. Best of both worlds.
Okay.
Yeah, so listen, thanks a million, Dan.
No,
really appreciate it.
Nice
very
to meet you finally,
time. Great
Mr.
stuff.
Mr. Wingnut of
Dutch man living in Galway. Okay, that's brilliant. Thanks a million, Dan.